Our story of living through the pandemic. In March of 2020, the year it started, we were just like everyone else, waiting for scientists to find the vaccine. It was slightly difficult to be isolated, but not too bad as we were together. We had hopes that it would soon be over. We worried about our family and our people at the villa getting sick. So many lost jobs and money. So many were going to the hospital, and so many had died. Alan, stop it a minute.
Okay.
It's gotten away. Oh, here. Our lives were changing. Unfortunately, my husband's health was getting worse. Because of dementia, his personality and emotions were changing. All the fears and aggravations of losing things, misplacing things, not being able to read his watch and tell whether it was morning or not. His eyesight was failing. What he used to do in a half an hour now took him all day. The papers began to pile up on his desk, and where were his glasses and sunglasses, and where did he leave his walking sticks? He had been to the doctors and he had gotten a memory pill, but it only helped a little. Here was a man who used to run marathons and lead hikes up and down the Grand Canyon, and now he was falling and afraid to go for a walk. He was lost. Home.
It's okay, I can edit this.
By Thanksgiving, our restaurant at the villa had finally reopened. We went down to dinner, but Sid was very tired, and neither of us were hungry, so we brought it back to our apartment. The next morning, we were tested for COVID. On Monday morning, December 1st, we were called and told we both had the virus and would need to quarantine. My symptoms were easier than most. I was just tired and sleepy, so staying in was okay. It seemed like a very long time getting Sid into his bed that night. He was confused and weak. After I thought all was okay, I fell back to sleep. I woke when I heard noises and found Sid on the floor on his back, trying to get up. He'd been struggling. His things were scattered everywhere, pillows, socks, and shoes. He was grabbing at anything within reach. I can't begin to describe the chaos. He told me his back hurt. I couldn't get him up. I called downstairs. It must have been 3 or 3:30 in the morning, and no one was around to help. They suggested I call 911. The firemen arrived shortly. They got him into his bed and asked him questions. Then they came into the living room and asked me more questions. The next thing I knew, they had him on a gurney out of the door. I yelled out, "I'm so sorry, I can't take care of you anymore." And he replied, "Are you sure?" That was our last communication. He spent the night at the emergency room on that gurney. No room available till the next day. That is what was happening at the hospital and in Tucson 1 year ago, this week. My son and daughter were on the phone to doctors and nurses, and when they could find one, then calling to tell me what was happening, going on. They started looking for a rehab place that would take someone with the virus. The next few days, he was doing what I believe was meant to be, the way he wanted it to be. He wouldn't eat or drink. He was hooked up to an IV drip, but kept pulling it out. By now, his kidneys were failing. Just a minute. This thing got in the way
again. It's okay, I can edit.
I can't get rid of it.
Jen, can you fix it?
Just touch it, Mom. Touch on the other part. touch on the story part. No, on the story part, on the main body.
Oh. Thank you. Okay. He was hooked up to an IV drip, but kept pulling it out. By now, his kidneys were failing. All that time, I was alone. My daughter wanted to come, but they wouldn't let her anyone in the hospital, and she couldn't come see me at the villa. Sid was finally transferred to a hospice. My daughter got on the next plane. By the time she landed in Phoenix, he was gone. We were alone at a time when we needed family and community. COVID kept us apart. This is our story. This is just one story. I think of the hundreds and thousands and millions of people who had their own stories.
That's good, Mom.